I got responsibilities now.
Responsibilities?
That means I'm not allowed to have fun anymore for the rest of my life.
And welcome to Radio DMG. I am your host, Philip Wesley, the Panem Prophet, the Capital Crier, the Mini Love Approved Mouth. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, I am talking to you on November 8th from the wreckage of what was once America. But hey, buckle in, it's going to be an interesting ride. Let's start with a little bit of the news. Looking through the Ministry of Information approved paperwork I have here on my desk. Yep. Looking through that, it occurs to me that nothing of importance really happened in quite some time. But there are some interesting and small minor notes of information and of import or newsity, but only partial newsity, because we don't want to ever make people feel uncomfortable with our manners of speech, because words are a bullying tool. It's very important that we attach words the proper meaning that the mini piece tells us they have. So, to go back to our bits of ministry-approved newsity, there was some announcements of various colors of video game accessories and consoles, handheld, like the Nintendo 3DS XL in several different colors, and the PlayStation Vita in several different colors. Vita means life. Life is an approved concept by the Ministry of Peace. Oceania forever. Anywho, going back again, a sequel to the much appreciated game Shantae: Risky's Revenge has been announced. Shantae and the Pirate's Curse. This game will be for the Nintendo 3DS eShop and may be purchased with credits on your way to Carousel. The other games that have been announced are an unnamed, as of yet, Solitarobo sequel. This is in development as we speak by some of the brightest minds at the Ministry of Technology, who will be furnishing us with brand new candles very shortly, because we know that this is the way we should go. The new tech is not approved. Going back one more time, it appears that the science fiction epic of space travel, Star Wars, will be receiving a new sequel in 2015, known as Star Wars 7. This is the result of a merger between the two nonprofit companies, the Walt Disney Corporation of Nonprofits and the Lucasfilms Corporation of Nonprofits. This merger also puts LucasArts many different staples and catalogs of titles made for the communal good available to the nonprofit company, the Walt Disney Corporation. The Walt Disney Corporation of nonprofits has now announced that they will be making the rest of the 9 movies that the Star Wars story was originally supposed to be a part of. Now, this has been approved by the Ministry of Finance, Minifine, and the Ministry of Double Finance, Doublefine. And they have told us that these great things will give to the people many new Star Wars related and also other LucasArts related games on the iOS in the future, and possibly on many of the home consoles, domicile dwelling consoles, as well as the handheld apparatus consoles. It is very important that we treat this with the calm dignity it deserves. The Walt Disney Corporation of Nonprofits has told us that they look forward to making the Star Wars franchise of nonprofits available to the wide amount and diverse amount of people or citizens of our fair country, Oceania Forever. So, to go back to our news, with this, the Mini-True approved news, ITTY, we would like to mention that we have always been at war with the Eurasias. We have always been at war with Eurasia. But with our new technology and our sequel to Shantae Risky's Revenge, we may yet defeat the horrible denizens of Eurasia. We will prevail. Oceania always prevails. For those wondering, we will now dispense with a rationing of 3 brand new interviews from Non-Descon. Some of these may contain other interviewers as well, because a few of these were done in a communal fashion. One of them may contain a translator, because not everyone speaks the new language. So, we will be dividing these helpings of Mini-True approved interviews in between delightful musical selections created for the people from various other games, private remixes made for the people and the public good, and some of these may come from the movie released by the Walt Disney Corporation of Nonprofits, Wreck-It Ralph, otherwise known as Demolition Through Control Ralph. This fantasy epic takes place inside of an arcade, and we feel that if you want to be considered a gamer, you should see this movie. It is a good movie for you and your entire family and for your family units. So take your partner or your partner's offspring with you to this movie, or you may enter it alone. Not seeing Wreck-It Ralph will be taken as a thought crime, and we should not be thought criminals. No, Oceania Forever, we do not want to be like the people of Eurasia, who we have always been in war with. They do not have Wreck-It Ralph or the option to see it in their local public cinemas from the Walt Disney Corporation nonprofits. So, I must advise you that you should exercise the great freedom given to you by the Ministry of Freedom to go and see Wreck-It Ralph from the Walt Disney Corporation of Nonprofits. Thank you. This has been your Ministry of Truth Approved message from Radio DMG and your host, Philip Wesley, the Capital Crier, the Panem Prophet, the Mini True, Mini Love Mouth. Thank you, and please enjoy our usual rationing of grand musical orchestrations made for the people. Radio DMG, I'm your host, Philip Wesley, the Mile High Mouth, and I'm over here at NodDeskCon 2012 with...
Lauren Lenda!
So, we haven't interviewed you yet, so who are you and what do you do?
I am a stranger in a strange land. I'm Lauren Landa. I'm a voice actress from L.A. And a couple of the roles off the top of my head would be Kyoko Sakura in Madoka Magica, Lychee Fei Ling from Blaze Blue, all the Blaze Blue games, Yan Leisha, Soul Calibur 5, Kierke von Zerbst, Familiar of Zero, Boy Boy in the anime film Red Line, which is amazing. It's an amazing project. And those are some of my bigger characters that I can name off the top of my head.
Hmm. So, you did a lot of acting before you did voice acting. Mm-hmm. So, what were you in before that?
Well, I started acting around the age of 5, and they were really for stage production. So, pretty much any musical that you've heard of, Annie, Bye Bye Birdie, Annie Get Your Gun, Rodgers and Hammerstein Cinderella, just the mainstream ones, pretty much. And then I also was the AD for other stage productions, such as the Greek comedy Lysistrata, Comic Potential, Bat Boy the Musical, which is a very fun, kooky, very cool musical. It's almost a rock and roll musical.
Kind of a Weekly World News thing, actually.
Yes, exactly. That's where it started. It's a lot of fun. It's a lot of fun with a little twisted, raunchy humor, but it's very... I loved being a part of it. It was a lot of fun. So
was that something that you wanted to do, or is it something that you're... family brought you into? Does it run in the family?
Well, my father is very creative. He's a writer, and he's a screenwriter, and I think I get my creativity from him. My mother was a registered nurse, hospital administrator. Interesting combination. Ever since I was little, I always wanted to be an actress, whether it was in film, radio, TV, or voiceover. And voiceover just happened to fall in my lap, and that's kind of where I've landed so far. But in the future, I do plan to do film and TV. It just hasn't come up yet. So the voiceover is going incredibly well. It has been for the last, I think, 6 or 7 years, and that's when I started, about 6 or 7 years ago. And it's been an amazing ride since then.
So who did you idolize growing up? How did you get that dream to be an actress?
I think it came from my father and I used to watch old movies all the time. I grew up watching Turner Classic Movies, the Turner Classic Movie Channel, excuse me. I grew up watching those movies, so I have an appreciation for the classics. And I think when I used to watch musicals with my dad, I would always see the female character fall desperately in love with the lead male and vice versa. And for musicals especially, it's a bit overdramatic, but I don't know, just something about feeling that emotion and helping other people feel that emotion. I think that's what really drew me into it. And ever since then, and not only that, but I happen to be a huge movie lover. I'm huge movie buff. So I think that's also where it comes from, too. The fact that it was simply, I love movies, I want to be a part of them, I want to act in them. So I think that's the mindset I had when I was a little kid. So,
what do you feel you would be doing if you weren't able to get into voice acting?
If I wasn't in this industry, I think I would actually, and if I had not pursued acting at all, I think I would like to be a therapist, actually. Therapist, counselor. I often love to try and help people with issues that they're having in their lives. Respectively, of course, I don't invade on people's privacy, but I think that's something that I would love to pursue, is counseling, therapy, one of those two, probably for marriage and family, or probably in the aspect of a social worker. Possibly, you know, something like that to help people in some way. Emotionally and mentally.
Emotionally and mentally, that's
right, exactly.
So, what do you think of NondesCon so far?
There is not one single negative thing that comes to mind. It is absolutely amazing. Not only is the staff amazing, but the fans are so incredibly enthusiastic. They are so happy to be here. They've treated me so well. And, you know, fans can be brutal. They can be brutal if they do not like the product. And I completely understand that as a fan myself of, let's say, movies. You know, if I don't like a product, I'm not going to go and see the actor that was in it, you know. But the fans have been absolutely wonderful. And NondesCon it lives up to its reputation, because I have heard nothing but absolutely amazing things, not just from fans, but from other voice actor guests in the past. And it's obviously proven itself to be true. It's absolutely amazing, and I'm having an absolutely amazing time. As you can tell, my voice is a little shot from the weekend.
That's okay, yeah. It's also
so obviously,
altitude.
Yes.
You haven't been to Denver before, have you?
No, I have, actually. Oh, yeah. I have family that lives out here, yes. And the last time I was out here was about 2 years ago or a year ago for Thanksgiving, right over in Golden.
Oh, Golden.
So, oh, yeah, I've been here plenty of times, but never in the wintertime. Never in the wintertime. It's always been in the fall or just before winter.
Yeah, down here in Denver, we only get maybe about 1 or 2 days of actual snow on the ground.
I've heard, yeah, I've heard that the last couple winters haven't been too harsh. You haven't had a harsh winter in about 4 years or something like that, which I guess is good in a way.
Oh, yes, it's pretty good actually. Mm-hmm. So, is there anything you're currently working on that you can talk about?
Oh, I wish I could. There are two. There's a project that I just wrapped up. I think about a month ago, that is incredibly popular. It's a very, very big project, and I can't wait to announce that. And then I'm also working on another very cool, very big project that I can't talk about yet, but I am so excited to talk about it. It's amazing, and I know the fans will be really excited to hear about it.
Mm. So you've also done a lot of work in video games and anime.
Mm-hmm.
Which do you prefer to work with? Lorgon, like video games or anime?
Well, you know, they're both so different. The recording processes are so different because for anime, you when you're recording it, you record by matching the lip flaps. And with video games, sometimes you do that for certain cut scenes, but apart from that, you're reading from a script, so it's all completely out of context. I love recording for both, but anime will always be dear to my heart because that's where I started with anime. So I would have to say probably anime, but I love recording for both. Video games has its own little fun part of it just as much as anime does, so I love both processes for different reasons.
And it's all about the paychecks on those two. Of course, you
the
know.
Paychecks yeah, don't the pay- hurt. Yeah, the paychecks don't, definitely don't hurt.
They definitely don't hurt.
Well, they make me feel better in the morning.
Mm-hmm. Hey, quick question real quick. Did they drag you to Casa Bonita yet?
I did. I did go to Casa Bonita, and I actually, and people are going to think I'm crazy for this, it wasn't that bad. It really wasn't that bad. I loved Black Bart's Cave. We went through Black Bart's Cave. That was really cool. Scared the crap out of me. Another friend of mine went through there with me, J. Michael Tatum, who's also a guest here, and he decided to scare the crap out of me by... There was a little opening on the side, and he decided to hide behind that and just jump out at me. And he's, I think, 6'2", 6'3". I don't know how he did it in that small little confined space, but he did it, and he managed to scare the crap out of me. So, job well done.
It's like, yeah.
And we also saw the little diving show, you know, the diver, and that was really, it's a beautiful place. I think it's really cool. I have heard, the reputation of it is I've heard, oh my God, you gotta go to Casa Bonita, it's awesome, but don't eat the food, you know, and I tried the food because I could not eat the food, it's Casa Bonita, so I don't think it was amazing, but I don't think it was terrible. It was not terrible. So
you haven't been to like Fargo's Pizza in Colorado Springs or anything yet?
No, oh. I have not.
Okay, that's another one.
Am I missing out?
No. it's one of those things. Although if we have any of our Colorado Springs listeners, they'll be like, wait, what? Oh, they know.
Oh, they know what you're referring to. Okay. Is that another Casa Bonita? You got to go there.
No,
just don't eat the food.
No, it's just awful pizza.
It's kind of a... You go there and it's like a step back in time because all the employees are wearing old clothes. And so like.
Oh, that's so cool.
And it's decorated really chintzy. Like,
I like that.
Just old fashioned to them.
But how can you ruin pizza? That's sacrilegious.
I have no idea how they ruin pizza.
Oh, I better not go there. It'll turn me off to pizza completely.
Yeah, there's some pretty good ones out there, too, actually, around that area. But yeah.
Oh, perfect.
So how do you balance your time between your work and your personal life?
Well, voice acting, when I record, it's very often. It's probably, I don't know how many times a day a week because it's random. Sometimes, well, I don't want to say random, but you schedule it ahead of time, but sometimes you'll get a call saying, you know, we need your availability for tomorrow or the next day. So I balance both by just that planning around each other. I understand that sounds a little weird, but, you know, if I say to myself, okay, I don't have a session today, so I can do this today, but in case I do have a session today, I'll do this at this time, and I'll take this long to do it. My whole day is practically scheduled, just in case. just in case something comes up, so.
Yeah, just because, like, if you fail the plan, you plan to fail.
Exactly. It's pretty crazy on both ends.
So what do you think of the cosplay over here at Nondescon?
Oh my gosh, the cosplay is amazing, and I'm totally going to be a huge ham here, but my niece is actually here, and she is cosplaying as Kyoko from Madoka, and she made the costume herself, and it is absolutely gorgeous, and I am not just saying that, it is absolutely gorgeous, but I have seen such awesome, awesome costumes. There's a lot of Doctor Who cosplayers here, and they are all rocking it. They're all rocking it. And I've seen a lot of Blaze Blue cosplayers here, and they're amazing. I've seen a lot of Black Butler cosplayers here, and that's awesome, too. So, but the costumes I always love seeing, because I love seeing the creativity put into them. You know, whether it's bought online or whether it's made themselves, it doesn't matter. It's just awesome to see.
So how many conventions do you get to go to per year?
As often as I can. This last month, I've been to 4 or 5, I believe, or 3 or 4. I lost count. And in the next couple months, I have a few on the list. Some of them are still in the middle of planning, so I can't necessarily announce them yet until it's confirmed. But there are going to be a couple coming up. I think the next one is TsubasaCon, which is in West Virginia. And then after that, it's Pacific Media Expo, or PMX for short, in Los Angeles, which is only a drive away, 45 minutes to be exact. And then after that... And then after, again, I'm losing track, but there's a couple on the list. There's a few others on the list, and this month has been crazy. The first one of this month was KumoriCon, which was in Vancouver, Washington, or Portland, Washington, which was awesome. KumoriCon is great. Again, they treated me so well there, and the fans there were fantastic. And then I went to a small con in northern Michigan, in Traverse City, called NMACon, short for Northern Michigan Anime Con. And I have never been to such... the con was small, the fans were fantastic, the staff was great, they were amazing. And I've been lucky, because all the cons that I've been going to have all been just fantastic. You know, not slow, not boring, nothing like that. They've all been fantastic. And there's a couple on the list, so... If for you listeners out there, I'll be sure to announce, of course, when I'll be a guest at those different conventions, of course, so keep an eye out for that.
So, yeah, there's a lot of that positive energy in these conventions, huh?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, positive, absolutely.
Mm-hmm. So, some checking your time. No problem. So, I know, well, you live around the LA area there, and you do a lot of work there. Mm-hmm. Have you done any work in Texas?
Not yet. I mean, and I only say not yet, not that there's going to be something in the future for sure, but you never know. I have a lot of friends over at Funimation, and I would love to get to work with them someday. But, you know, it's difficult to fly LA actors out there. You know, they do with some actors who they already know. And who are incredibly talented. So, again, I am not saying it's going to happen for sure, but it's definitely something I would love to do in the future. So,
yeah, because like I was hoping to get a little bit of perspective between the two, because they're both different kind of recording atmospheres, because Texas being a right-to-work state, and L.A.
being a union state.
Union, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So you're part of the union?
Right now I'm non-union, however, it's possible that I will be joining the union soon. Not sure, but we'll see how that happens. We'll see how that goes.
It helps out quite a bit.
It does. It's a double-edged sword, really, because there's a lot of non-union work, and then again, there's a lot of union work. However, I think that there's a lot more union actors than there are non-union actors. So the pay is better, obviously, in union, but you never know. It's one giant competition, really. Mm-hmm. It's interesting because the voiceover community is small but large, competitive but supportive. It's very strange, but I know that myself and my other voice actor friends always try to help each other out as much as we can. But at the same time, we're still technically competing against each other. But we still try to help each other out.
So, going back to video games and such, are there any that you currently play?
I wish I had more time to play the video games that I've been in. I've played Blaze Blue. I play Blaze Blue, and my character, Lychee Failing, I've tried playing her, and I fail miserably at it. She's very technical. She's very technical, and I am a button masher.
So more of a Dead or Alive player.
Yes.
Yes.
Exactly. Definitely Dead or Alive player. And I love those kind of games. I love fighting games. Again, I am a button masher, but I still get the job done. In Blaze Blue, I love to play Tager because he can just stomp on people. I've also played in the past. I'm a big RPG fan. I love RPG games. I think I love the Final Fantasy games. They're great. I think the last RPG game that I played was Shadow Hearts Covenant, which I think is an old one. But I do love video games. I love video games. It's just I don't have a lot of time to play them. I also love Grand Theft Auto. I won't lie. I love Grand Theft Auto. That's an addicting game. I always got to do the missions. I got to finish the missions.
Well, going back to the conventions again, like you said, there's a lot of... these conventions are fun. There's a lot of energy in them. But... I've noticed something at conventions. Well, there's a huge high energy level at the convention. People are very open and excited. When they get back out to their normal everyday lives or so, they tend to clam up, to go into a bit of a shell. Is there anything you would suggest or say to help people take that convention spirit and bring it into their everyday life?
I think if they did that more often, they would realize that they truly are confident. They can be confident. They don't have to be afraid to be confident. Because when I was younger, I was very shy. I was afraid to open my mouth. And I think people often were. And since anime used to be considered the weird thing, you know, that's what it was when I was in elementary school, at least. And so I think some kids think that, or people, adults, whichever, they think that if they're into anime or video games, then they're only perceived as nerds or whatever. And hey, I'm a nerd. I am happy to be a nerd. But, you know, when they come to conventions and when they have this confidence all of a sudden, then they go back into the real world, so to speak, and they lose that, well, they have to gain respect for themselves, you know, and there's nothing to be afraid of because... just because you're not around your fellow friends at conventions or out in the real world doesn't mean you can't be that way. And my firm belief is that the more you are as you are at conventions, I think the more positive things will happen to you. That's what I believe. And people have often come up to me, and I can tell that they're very shy, they're very socially awkward, and it breaks my heart sometimes because it's hard for them to get certain words out. You know, it's hard for them to ask for things or request things, and it breaks my heart because they should have every confidence, every piece of confidence that they can, because they're each of them are special in their own way. And I wish that they themselves knew that. For example, today I was signing... and my autograph signing, somebody came up to me, this sweet girl came up to me, and she said, "Oh, hi, my name's Nikki, I'm just a nobody." And I said, "You're not a nobody, you're Nikki. Own it. You're yourself, be yourself," you know, and I kind of broke my heart a little bit, but, you know, it's just people need to be themselves, they need to find out who they are, they need to discover themselves, not just inside the conventions, but in the real world, as you said, so...
Thank you very much for the interview.
Oh, thank you for having me.
Yes, this has been Philip Wesley with Radio DMG. I just messed up the name of it. With Radio DMG. And
I didn't mess it up.
I know. It had to happen. I was tired. Anyways, this is Philip Wesley with Radio DMG. And I'm over here at NondeskCon 2012 with my guest,
Lauren Landa.
And good night. Thank you. welcome back to Radio DMG. I'm your host, Philip Wesley, the Mile High Mouth, and I'm here doing a co-interview with...
Joseph Dunn from HyphyTech.net, public broadcast network up in Fort Collins.
Mm-hmm. So, real quick, so that on our we can kind of pimp our stuff, I guess, you can find me at Radio DMG, that's RadioDMG.com, and we can find you at...
HyphyTech.net, HyphyTek.
Excellent. And we're here at NondeskCon 2012 with our special guest...
Brina Palencia.
So, I'll start this one out here. Brina, who are you and what do you do?
I am an actor from Dallas, and I do a lot of voice acting for anime and video games, which is why I'm at this convention.
Mm-hmm. What's been some of the more recent roles you've been doing that viewers will know you by?
I play Tony Chopper in One Piece, Ciel in Black Butler, Holo in Spice and Wolf, Rey in Evangelion the Rebuild series, Mad Moxie in Borderlands 1 and 2, and a lot of other stuff. Liu Zhe and Kashrin, since it's airing on Toonami right now, I think.
It is.
Mm-hmm.
So, how did you get involved in voice acting? How did you start?
Well, I had done a lot of stage stuff whenever I was in high school and in college, and I was also a big fan of Dragon Ball Z whenever I was in high school, and my friends and I took a tour of Funimation, because it was about an hour away from where I went to high school, and we took a tour, and Chris Sabat was in the booth recording his Piccolo, and I remember watching it and thinking, I feel like I could do that. And so when I graduated high school, I ended up going to a community college that was, you know, about a mile away, and I just walked in and I asked how to audition, and they put me on a waiting list for an open call, which at the time was only 2 months. Now I think, unless you have an agent or unless you know one of the directors, I think it's like 2 years, because so many people want to be a voice actor now. So I waited 2 months and I got to, my first audition was actually for Case Closed, and I ended up obviously not getting a big part, and so they called me in to do Bits and Walla, though, and Walla is it's a with all actors is what it means, and it's just we get like a whole bunch of us in a booth and just start, you know, doing background chatter, like, oh, like, we're in a market, how much do these oranges cost, and just, you know, improvising conversations and all that. I did that for about 2 years, just, you know, Bits and Walla for about 2 years, and then my first featured character was Nina Tucker in Full Metal Alchemist, and then from there I started getting more and more characters, and then eventually Colleen Klinkenbeard, who was a producer at the time, asked me to direct for her. So I started directing, and then from there I started getting even more voice acting roles, and then I decided to just focus on acting, because I also wanted to do on-camera stuff and all that, so yeah, that's how I got my start, the long story.
Very cool. So going on to your active musician,
mm-hmm.
You played a character in the show Beck,
yes.
Which is mm-hmm. a show all about music. Did you apply for that specifically because of your history with music?
Oh yeah, I really wanted that part because I knew that she sang, and you know, I have way more of a music background, especially at the time. I had a much more musical background than I did acting, and I was studying music at the time, so I was like, this is my strength, this is what I can do, I can totally do this part, I know I can. And so that was the first role that I ever auditioned for that I just wanted desperately, and thank God I got it. I would have been devastated if I hadn't. But it was an awesome experience, and that's will forever and always be one of my favorite characters, because she was my first lead, and it's just a cool show, and I got to sing, and it was just so much fun. It was really cool.
Since you said you also do a lot of video game work, that means you have to go from Dallas to L.A. to do that.
No, actually, I do that in Dallas.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. I was going to ask if you've been out to L.A. for any of these acting gigs.
I have. I went to L.A. to do, what was it? Chocobo's Dungeon? Final Fantasy Chocobo's Dungeon?
Chocobo's Mysterious Dungeon.
So yeah, that one. And yeah. I played the Moogle in that, which was really fun. And then I also did some bit parts on Street Fighter 4, that was out in L.A. But that was just, I mean, because I know a lot of people in L.A., so that was one of those moments where I was like, oh, I just happen to be in town. Is there any work that you want me to do? Okay, sure, do some bits on Street Fighter 4. But no, majority, I'd say 90% of what I do is all in Dallas.
Hmm. I was kind of hoping you had a little bit more that you did in L.A. so that we could ask you a little bit about the difference of working in Dallas and then working in L.A. because one's a right-to-work state and the other one's right. A union.
What I've done in L.A. was not union, mm-hmm. so it wasn't really very different. Oh. Yeah, it was about the same. Hmm.
So, with Borderlands 2, it technically doesn't come out till tomorrow.
Right.
Well, tomorrow midnight, it's Tuesday. Mm-hmm. Mad Moxie, didn't really know she was in Borderlands 2, so that's kind of cool that she's
yeah,
in
it. Yeah, totally.
Were you all really excited when they announced it? Were you like, I gotta go back and get another role?
Yeah, no, I was really happy. I said earlier in another interview that that was a character that I never thought I would be cast as, because that is not a character I typically play. Usually I play boys or creatures or, you know, young girls or something. She's like, you know, all sexy and whatever. Like, that's totally not my style and totally not what I typically do. So it was really awesome to sort of be stretched like that as an actor and kind of get to play. So I was really excited that she came back. And I also have another character in Borderlands 2 that I wouldn't say even more excited about, but equally excited about. She's really hilarious. They did an incredible job on the script. I mean, they did an incredible job on the script in the first one, but I think the second one is even funnier. It's hilarious. It's so good. There are moments where it will sound like I'm just improvising stuff. I am not. That is word perfect, exactly everything that they wrote, because there is no way I could ever come up with anything funnier than what they wrote.
Yeah, no, the guys at Gearbox, like, I've met them, talked to them before in the mm-hmm. past, and those guys are hilarious.
Oh, yeah.
Like, did you actually get to meet all the developers of the game?
No, I mean, I met Anthony, because he helped sort of, he was the writer that was always there to help with the directing and all that. And I know Mikey, but that's about it.
Do you see yourself voicing in video game projects in the future?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I do a lot of independent games, too, like for Twisted Pixel, and I really like working with them, and yeah, I mean, because I work a lot. I've worked really closely with Okotron 5000. Chris Sabat is actually, strangely enough, like flash-forwarding from whenever I met him when I was 16 years old. He's now one of my best friends, and we actually work together a lot. So, that's what Okotron 5000 tends to specialize in, is doing video games. So I work a lot with him.
Very cool.
So, with all this work, how do you find the time to balance between home life and work life?
It's difficult, but I mean, I'm lucky in that I know a lot of actors have to have a day job, like they have to work at Starbucks or be a waiter or something, and I don't have to do that. I'm lucky enough that I do get enough work that I can just focus on that during the day and then have a life with my husband and my awesome cat at night. But my husband actually works a lot with me. He is starting to get into a lot of producing and stuff, and he's also a photographer, so we tend to work a lot together, which is pretty awesome.
So how'd you meet him?
My husband and I met in high school.
Oh.
Yeah. We're high school sweethearts. We've been together for 11 years.
Oh, that's adorable.
Yeah. We've only been married for 3, but it's always lame because our dating anniversary is so much more epic than our wedding anniversary. Like, this year we will be, actually the 19th of this month is our anniversary, and we'll be celebrating 3 years, big deal, whatever. And in April, we celebrated 11 for our dating anniversary, so it just kind of feels lame celebrating our wedding anniversary because it does not describe the awesome that is us.
Right. What's the cat's name, real quick?
His name is Kit Kat.
Oh.
Alright. So, when you did Rebuild from Evangelion, Wendy Powell did the previous voice for Ray. How's stepping in?
No, not Wendy Powell.
Oh, it was Amanda Woodley. That's right.
Yes, Amanda Woodley, yeah.
How is stepping in for those shoots?
I had never heard it before. I had never watched the series before, and Mike McFarlane asked me to not watch it until after we're done because he wants me to not be influenced by it, not because it was bad or anything, but because he didn't want me to have that pressure.
Yeah.
And so I already had enough pressure from lots of fans telling me not to screw it up whenever they found out that I got the role. But since the first two have come out, it's been nothing but positive, criticisms and whatever. People seem to really like it, so I'm very happy about that. But it was pretty terrifying, like, knowing how popular that show was, stepping into those shoes.
Did you actually watch the previous show now? Have you seen it since?
No, because we haven't finished the Rebuild series yet.
Mm-hmm. Yes, the third one.
Two more movies.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Third one comes out in Japan this summer.
I gotta wait.
November.
Or,
November.
Yeah, it is November.
Oh, can't wait.
Same here.
So, going back to, I guess, like, all that busy work and stuff, what do you think of the convention so far?
This has been awesome. This has seriously been one of my favorite conventions ever. It's super well run. Denver's beautiful. It's very relaxing, and it's been awesome. And the altitude makes me feel like I'm just drunk all the time.
Speaking of that, did they drag you to Casa Bonita yet?
Yes, they did.
Oh,
the first night, yeah.
Excellent, excellent.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's a hilarious place.
So, on your musical history, what was your main instrument?
Voice, actually.
Voicing? Mm-hmm. Okay. Did you ever actually sing in any bands?
In high school, I did a little bit, but I mostly focused on, like, music theory. I never did a whole lot of performance. Mm-hmm. But my... recently, I've started writing a whole lot again for my web series, The Troubadours, which has been really awesome to get to do, because I've been music directing for Funimation for a long time, but that's never working on my own music. That's always just working on, you know, adapting the Japanese into English, which is really fun, but it's not as fulfilling as getting to, like, write your own music and teaching it to people and, like, performing it and all that. So for The Troubadours, it's a musical comedy web series based on holidays. So it's like a group of college students who go caroling door to door for a new holiday every week. And there are 9 episodes, so I got to write 9 original songs for a new holiday. It was awesome. And the first 3 episodes are up. We have Labor Day, Patriot Day, and today, Hobbit Day came out. So you guys should check it out.
All right.
Our website is thetroubadours.com. The TROUBADOORS.com.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So, since you're working with I'm trying to remember what his name is. We interviewed him yesterday, like Chuck Huber?
Chuck Huber.
Yes. Chuck Huber. Did you do anything at Arbor Day, the musical?
I did, yeah. I'm one of the leads in Arbor Day, and I wrote the music that I sang in it, I wrote. So that's kind of... Doing Arbor Day is sort of what led into, like, us wanting to work with him. My partner, Haley Esposito, and I, she was the one who came up with the concept for the show. We both, you know, I knew him really well, even before Arbor Day, but especially after working with him on Arbor Day. And Haley knew him fairly well, and so we both really wanted to work with him because it was another musical. Chuck was our director of photography for a lot of it, and he has taught me how to edit, and he actually edited Hobbit Day, mm-hmm. and he has been my assistant editor on everything. And by assistant editor, I mean teaching me how to do everything.
I'm sure the pitch for that one was fun.
Yeah. No, it was... Troubadours has been an amazing experience, and I think for all of us, it's been a really cool learning experience.
Very cool.
Well, we're going to be wrapping this up a little bit. Final question?
I have no more questions other than, what would you say your favorite musical is then, since you're a big musical person?
Sweeney Todd.
Sweeney Todd.
I love Sweeney Todd.
Oh, so a Sondheim fan.
Yes, I love Stephen Sondheim.
That's your best, your favorite Stephen Sondheim fan? Stephen Sondheim?
Yes.
I like Company and Into the Woods myself.
Both also awesome. Mm-hmm. I like dark stuff, though, so that's why I like Sweeney Todd.
Well, thank you very much for the interview. This has been... Philip Wesley, The Mile High Mouth with Radio DMG, and
Joseph Dunn with HyphenTech.net.
With our special guest,
Brina Palencia. Thanks, guys.
NonDescon 2012, and good night.
Yep. Have a good one.
Thanks.
Hello, this is Lauren Landa, and you're listening to Radio DMG.
Just a matter of time before we learn how to fly. close your eyes, 'cause your future's ready to shine. It's just a matter of time before we learn how to fly.
Welcome back. This is Philip Wesley, the Mile High Mouth. I'm here at NondeskCon 2012 with my partner in crime here at this interview.
I'm John from Midnight Anime Radio.
And real quick question, let's go ahead and give people the URLs where they can find us.
Alright, you can find me at www.midnightanimeradio.com if you care to listen, or you can check on iTunes.
Mm-hmm. And you can find me at radiodmg.com, and we're not really on iTunes, but we're here today at NondeskCon 2012 with our esteemed guest.
Yes. Mr. Osamu Kobayashi speaking. Yeah. Deva tsuneyo.
Do you want me to translate what you just said in,
yes,
in
yes.
English to Japanese? Mm-hmm. Like, はじめまして、今回、こうして2012年の、なんですかの、インタビューをさせていただきます。僕は、フィリップ、DMG ラジオから来ています。僕の方は、ジョン、アニメ、ラジオの方から、来ております。それぞれ、アニメラジオさんの方は www.animeradio.com で、iTunes の方で聞くことができます。また DMG さんの方は radiodmg.comで iTunes ではないんですが、こちらも、ぜひ、お聞きください。よろしくお願いいたします。本日は小林監督を迎えて今からインタビューをさせていただきます。よろしくお願いいたします。
はい、お願いします。
So, since I'll go ahead and take the first question, who are you and what do you do?
では僕の方からまず最初に、質問させていただきますが、まず、小林さん自身のことについて、教えていただきたいんですが、どのようなことをされていらっしゃいますか？
アニメーションのディレクターをやってます。
I'm an anime director.
Alright, so coming into the industry, what got your foot in, and you know, what was your motivation to coming into the anime industry?
まあ、アニメのディレクターになられたきっかけを、教えてください。
難しいね。
So difficult.
まあ、もともとアニメーションが好きでした。
Definitely, I loved anime to begin with.
僕はアニメーションやる前は漫画を描いてました。
Before, being this anime industry, I draw manga.
で、まあ、映画も好きでした。
I loved, movies.
それで、そうですね。なんで監督になったか。
Why did I become director? It's difficult
to... 深淵な質問だね。
Tough question.
まあ、アニメーションが好きで、それで、まあ、きっかけっていうのが、なんでやったんだっけな。一番初めに、スタジオに入って動画っていうのを少し経験しました。
So, first, definitely begin with this, that I love anime, and then also, at the very beginning, I experience in-betweens.
でもまあ、すぐにその時は辞めてしまって、その漫画とかコマーシャルの仕事をしてたんですけど。
I didn't much had an experience in doing in-betweens, but after that, I move on to the manga.And commercials.
そうですね。TV commercials. そうだね。いろいろ面倒くさいんだよね。僕の兄貴がメカデザイナーで、まあちょっと有名な小林誠って言うんですけど。
I have an older brother who does a mechanical design, and he's pretty popular, well known in the industry. And his name is Makoto Kobayashi.
Double Zeta Gundam とかのデザイナーです。
He did a Double Zeta Gundam. He did the mecha design for those.
で、彼がアニメーションの監督をする機会があって、
So my brother had a chance to do the anime director.
その時に僕はストーリーボードとメカデザインと色彩設定っていうのをやったんですね。
So at that time, my brother gave me a chance that I would be able to involve in that anime doing the storyboard, mechanical design, and the background setting, or the art setting.
それがまずその多分アニメの入るきっかけかな。
That was probably the first time that gave me a chance to be in this industry.
で、ディレクターをやるきっかけっていうのは、ガドガードっていうアニメーションでエンディングアニメーションをやって。
So, and then the first time that why I was able to do the anime director is I got a chance to do the ending anime for that anime called ガドガード。
ロボットアニメ。
It's a robot anime。
で、それを多分丸山さんが今日今が見てる丸山ミスター丸山が見てくれて。
And when I did this ending,
そうだ。
Mr. Maruyama, who is here today at this convention, watched what I made.
僕 Tokyo Tribe 2っていう漫画が好きだったんですよ。
Actually, it moves to the different story, but I liked the manga called Tokyo
Tribe. Tribe.
Tokyo Tribe. Tokyo Tribe.
Two.で、それをアニメにしたくて作者にメールを出したら丸山さんから返事が来たんです、ね、
So I wanted to make that manga into anime and therefore I sent email to the creator, original creator and the response was from Mr. Maruyama
で、まあアニメ化権をマダースで押さえてたんですね。
And the reason Maruyama sent me a reply is because Madhouse at that time had a rightto make this manga into animation.
で、そのとりあえずなんか会いたいからっていう話をもらって、僕は丸山さんに会いに行ったんですね。
So Maruyama said, "Hey, we would like to meet you in person." So that was the first time I met Maruyama.、
そうしたらなんかその監督はもう決まってて、東京ドライブの、それでなんかイメージボードっていうかレイアウトっていうのをアニメーション書くんですけど、宮崎さん、綾尾さんとかやってた仕事なんですけど、レイアウトを書いてほしいって言われたんです。
So the director for the Tokyo Tribe animation was already decided, and at that time I was told like, would you please draw an image board?
でも僕は監督以外興味がなかったんで断ったんです。
But I actually rejected the offer because I wasn't interested in doing that at all. I just wanted to become a director, the anime director.
でその時に僕は音楽に映像をつけるのは得意ですよみたいなことを話したんです。
That time I talked to Maruyama telling him that I am good at putting the music on animation.
そしたら数日後に丸山さんからまた連絡が来て、でベックっていう作品に興味があるか、監督やりませんかって言われたんです。
So later on, Maruyama contacted me again, mentioning like, hey, are you interested in being an anime director for an anime called Beck?
それで僕はその時その Beck っていう漫画の存在は知ってたんですけど、読んでなかったんで。
I heard of Beck at that time, but I never read the original manga.
だからとりあえず読んでから返事をするって言って読みました。
So I told Maruyama like, let me read the manga first and then I'll give you a call again.
漫画喫茶ってこっちわかる？
Do you know 漫画喫茶 or 漫画喫茶 is like a coffee shop.、We have a 漫画 coffee shop in Japan.、You pay for a certain amount and there's tons of 漫画 everywhere in this、store and you just order for coffee and、probably like pay for 1 hour amount. You order have to order something, but you can read as many 漫画 as you want in that、coffee shop. There's tons.
僕はその漫画喫茶でベックを読んで。号泣したんですね。
So I read. I went to this manga coffee shop and read Beck for the first time and just couldn't stop crying. He was crying, but it's because it was so funny.
ファニー、うん、ファニーというか、まあ、ファニーって、ファニーって面白いってい
う。面白い。
まあ、それで感動したんで、引き受けました。
And because I was moved very much, so I accepted the offer. すみません、さっきの面白いというのは、ファニーというのは冗談とかが。
じゃなくて、面白いっていうのはすごい、すごいインタレスティングっていうか。
So I'm sorry, the funny was a wrong English I translated. It's a, the story itself is very interesting.
いい話です。Good story.
Very good story, and I was very moved, and that's why I cried.So I accepted the offer.
まあ、テレビシリーズの監督をやることになったのはそういう話きっかけです。
So that was the beginning, the start that I became anime director for the TV anime series.
The storyline of Beck follows essentially the influence of outside music on a young Japanese youth and how it shapes his life and builds him into more as they put together the band.Into more of an adult. In what way would you say foreign culture, be it music or movies, has affected your own growth?
ベック自身の、そのストーリーというものがですね、日本人の少年が、まあ、音楽にこう影響を受けて人生をこういろいろな方向でこう研ぎ澄まされていくというような物語なわけなんですが、それを見てですね、ご自身のことについてお聞きしたいのですが、ご自身が例えば外国のカルチャーですね、文化か音楽とかそういったもので影響を受けたというようなことはおありになりますか？
外国のカルチャーはそのムービーにしてもミュージックにしてもたくさん影響を受けてます、ね、
Yes, I got influenced a lot from foreign movies and music.
映画だと昔 の, その西部劇のジョン・フォードとかハワード・オークスも好きですし、フランク・キャプラも好きだし、まあ、ティム・バートも好きだしあのいっぱい好きですからね。それはまあアメリカ以外にだけじゃなくてドイツ映画とかフランス映画も好きなんで。
So now talking about the American movies, I like the Western old movies and I like the actors like John Ford, Howard
Hawks,
Fox, Tim Burton definitely,
and not,
not only American movies, but I got influenced by German and French movies.
まあ普通にリドリー・スコットも好きですし。トニー・スコット死んじゃったんだよね。知ってます。トップガンの監督が。
The director of the Top Gun,
Tony Scott. 最近死んじゃったんですよ。
Scott, who passed away recently, I got influenced.
トップガンも、まあハンガーって映画
が好きなんですけど。By that movie too, and also the movie titled Hanger.
デビッド・ボーイが出てる。
デビッド・ボーイ was in that movie.
デビッド・ボーイが吸血鬼の役。
David Bowie was played the Dracula in that movie.
すごい、それも好きですけどね。
Yeah, I like that movie too.
ああ、そう、まあミュージックだと、まあセックスピストルズはまあロンドンの人ですけど。
If we're talking about the music, I like Sex Pistols. They're London-based musician.
The Crush とか。
The Crush.
まあパンクミュージックですね。
パンクミュージック。It's my favorite.
まあいろいろ影響を受けてます。
And more I got influenced by.
all right. So, how did you come to acquire or get involved with Paradise Kiss, and what was kind of motivation behind that show?
Paradise Kiss の監督をやることになったきっかけ。What's the second question?
なんか飲み物とか。
What was the motivation behind that show?
そのやることになったきっかけですね。
Paradise Kiss はですね。あのフジテレビのノイタミナっていう枠なんですけど、
Paradise Kiss was on air by Fuji Television, and there is a time line for that anime was called ノイタミナ。ノイタミナ、ノイタミナです。ノイタミナ、it's a midnight anime.
ノイタミナ、アニメーションの逆読みなんです。
ノイタミナ is a If you write animation and if you read from the backward, make it in katakana, it's noitamina.
Yeah. プロデューサーがそう言ってた。
So, nighttime anime.
Nighttime
it's a
anime.
It's a pun.
Yeah, right.
Adult Swim.
Right, yeah.
Adult Swim to the US. Yes.
アメリカで言えばですね、あの、まあ、おおあの、ノイタミナというもの自体が大人のジョークみたいな、その付け方がですね、その逆からっていうので、なかなか面白い付け方をしてるんですが、アメリカで言うアダルトスイムっていう、まあ、アニメのチャンネルがあるんですが、まあ、それに似たようなものですね。
大人向けの
枠。はい、大人向けのアニメの枠ですね。Adult Swim is kind of the animation toward the older people, right?
そのノイタミナの枠のフジテレビのプロデューサーが僕にパラキスを監督してほしいって指名してきたんですよ。
So, the Fuji television producer for this Noitamina, asked, appointed me, to become the director for the Paradise Kiss.
多分そういうテレビ局のプロデューサーが個人の監督を指名してくるっていうのはちょっと稀だと思うんですけど。
It is very rare for the TV production to appoint a specific like individual director to run the show.
で、そのベックを見て行ってきたんだとしたら、まあありかな、あるかなと思ったんだけど、彼はベックじゃなくてスタジオ 4°C っていうところで作った短編のアニメを見て、あの気に入ってくれたみたいで、そのパラキスをやらせてみようと思ったらしいんですよ。それはちょっと嬉しかった。
So I understand if the director watched Beck that I've done, and that is the reason that he appointed me to become a director for the Paradise Kiss. But actually, I figure out the director, the producer from the Fuji Television, watched the short series that I made at the studio, Four Degrees, and because of that, I was very proud and happy.
To know that he appointed me because of that. それであの、
So I was very happy. Therefore, before I read all the manga, I said yes, I would do it.
読んだら面白かったからよかったけど。
And I was, I was relieved that after I read the manga, it was a really good manga series. So I was relieved.
まあ、僕はファッション関係の裏腹の舞台になってる 裏原宿ってあるんですけど、そこを舞台になってる漫画だっていうのはなんとなく知ってたんですけど、あれもっとなストリートファッションのものだと思ってたら意外とオートクチュールだったんで、そこはちょっとねがっかりでしたね。なんて逆でやめとこうかな。ちょっと意外でしたぐらいですね。
I know that, Paradise Kiss was anime about Uraharajuku. Mm-hmm. It's the place. Just that was the information I knew before. And I kind of had a mind that I thought this manga itself was about the street fashion, but turned out that it was haute couture. How do you say in English? It's French.
Haute couture.
Haute couture.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Nice. So.I was a little bit disappointed. Should I not say?
まあ僕はどっちかストリートファッションが好きだった。
So the reason I said disappointed is because I like street fashion more.
オートクチュールわかんねえよ。
Speaking of fashion, I've noticed when you were at the opening ceremonies, this jacket that you have here, and it's covered in a lot of buttons.Is there a significance to the jacket and the buttons? Why the buttons and the jacket?
まあ、ファッションのことといえばですね、オープニングで着ていらっしゃったジャケット、今お持ちの、ジャケットなんですけれども、はい、あのバッジがたくさんついているので非常に、まあ、目を、引いたんですが、このバッジには何か意味があるのでしょうか。
まああの僕はパンク好きなんで、パンクの人はバッチをいっぱいつけるんですよ。
So because I'm a punker, the punk guys have lots of badges.
基本的には僕はあの好きなバンドのバッチをつけてるんです。
And basically, all the badges here are bands that I like.
友達のバンドとかが多いですけど、あとまあ。
So...One, or I don't know, maybe a few are my friend's band.In Japan.
In Japan, in Japan, and まあ ザフーとかもあります。
And there's also クラッシュのどこ行っちゃ
ったね。ザフー。ザフー。青春の光と影って映画があるんですけどね。
There is a movie titled 青春と光の影。
青春の光と影。
青春の光の影。
光と影。
光と影。
多分そんな感じだった
けど。Shadow in Adult. I'm sorry, I don't know.
まあ、イギリスのスティングが出てますよ。
A sting, is it?
モッツの役ですね、あいつは。
Alright. So I'm just curious, you know, Painting Stockings is kind of a unique anime in and of itself. And it has a lot of trappings of, you know, late 90s, early 2000s, I'd say American cartoons. Would you say was that an inspiration? And how much did that play a role in the production of the anime?
I'm very sorry, I didn't understand the first Penguin.
Onion
stockings.
Onion
stockings. With gutter
belt.
Yeah. Onion stocking.
Gutter belt. I like that.
I'm sorry.
American.
American.
Like Gainax is an anime, isn't it?
Your question was
what role did the 90s or the 2000s American cartoons play in the production of Painting Stocking and just kind of motivation behind it?
Okay,
kind of like
Powerpuff
Girls.
Such Powerpuff Girls. Powerpuff Girls. Yeah, the American influence on Panty and Stocking with Dachan in Dachan City.
パンティ&ストッキングやられて、ウェズ・ガタベットやられてますけども、この中 の, そのシーンというのが、90年、2000年 の, その90年代、2000年代のアメリカで流行ったようなパフィーガールとか、パフガールとか、ああいうのの影響を受けているように思えるんですが、はい、その辺について教えてください。まあ、
僕は監督じゃないんで、
well, I'm not the director of that series. I just did the, one episode in that.
だから、まあ、ちょっとそのあれは監督、今石君ってことなんで。
Imaishi is a person. Imaishi is the director of the show.
あとそのキャラクターデザイナーがその Nishigori君ということで。
Nishigori is a character designer.
なんだデザインしたのかな。好きだったんじゃないですかね。
I think they designed that way because they like those shows.
ご覧になってるのかな。
You both watched a Penny.
あの見るとストーリーがかなり露骨な えげつないんですよ。
if you watch, you will know that the stories are
知ってると思いますけど。
露骨。ス
カムテン。
Yeah.
えげつない
とか。えげつない is
ファクとか
言うんですよ。
Using lots of F words.
Racing.
あのとてもあの素晴らしいストーリーなんで。
Very good stories.
あの多分リアルなキャラでやるとちょっとあのねあの リアルキャラでやるとなんていうのかなこう気持ち悪くなっちゃうっていうか。
So I think that if that story was done by the more realistic characters, it's not gonna be funny.
結構なんかそういうまあ。エッチっぽいとかそういううんことかよく言うんですけどゲロとか。
So in that show you hear
う
んこ or what poops or pukes and all those words are in that show.
だからそれをなんかこうなんていうのバランスを取るのも考えて可愛いキャラクターにしたんだと思う。
So to balance everything out because of those dirty words and the character itself, that's why they made the character
僕の推測ですけど
not too realistic, and that's what I assume.
多分
to work, I suppose, with some of the rules that they have in Japan on what can or cannot be aired.
日本と違うのはこちらの方だと、規制がありまして、まあ、オンラインで流せるもの流せないものなんていうのもあるので、ギリ多分そういうこともありますね。
How do you feel that the anime industry has grown in the last couple decades?
ここ数十年のアニメのこの成長についてどういうふうに思われますか？
成長それはインジャパンなのかな、アメリカ。
You're talking about in Japan or in America?
In Japan.
日本で。
俺はあんまりアニメが成長してると思ってない。
I don't think there's a huge growth in anime industry in Japan.
もう成長した。
To kind of build off that question, then, do you feel that the growth for maybe the future of anime industry is maybe outside Japan and more into a world market then in that case?
その質問にちょっと似てるってことだと思いますが、ということは監督のおっしゃっているのはこの成長という日本の成長というのがもうこれとどまっていて、今後はあの日本がロールモデルみたいな形になって他の国がもっとアニメで成長していくというふうにおっしゃられてるんでしょうか。
なんだろうな、例えば、まあ、あのアニメーションに限らないで例えば日本アメリカの映画に映画のことを考えてみてもすぐなんか結構似てると思うんですけど、そんなに昔に比べて今のものが優れてるって思えないんですよね僕。
I personally think like what maybe this is a similar if you're talking about the movies here in the United States, not only the animation, but if you see the movies here in the United States, it's I don't think the old one and the new one is that huge difference or huge growth.
まあこれはまあすごい自分のパーソナルな考えなんですけど、
This is my personal opinion.
あの例えば映画とかそのアニメーションとかっていうそういうエンターテインメント産業のそういう作品っていうのはあのこうなんていうのこういろんな歴史を経て成長していくというような感じは僕は思ってなくて、あの一人の天才が現れて作品を変えていくっていうか、
I personally think like in the movie industries and anime industries such as all the, these entertainment industries, I personally don't think there is a growth because of the histories or decays. I personally think it will drastically change because there will be a one or few genius people will be there and then after that will change.
なんか例えばアメリカ映画だと映画産業がこう斜陽っていうか傾いてた時にジョージ・ルーカスっていう人がスターウォーズって映画を作ったんですけど、それで映画を救ったりしてるんですよね。だからそういう例えばチャップリンであるとか、あの日本のアニメーションでいうと多分宮崎駿さんとか、あのなんだろうな、安野さんとかマイバイゲルの安野さんとか、そういうやっぱエポックな人たちが出てきて、やっぱりそういう面白い世界に、例えばグレン・ラガンとかパンストの今石君とかもすごい才能があると思うんですけど、そういうなんかこうこの先とかこういう歴史があるから出てくるっていうよりは、面白いやつが出てくるとその作品っていうかそのアニメーションの世界も豊かになったりするんだけど、だからまあそういう人が、まあ、僕も頑張んなきゃいけないんですけど、だからなんかこう日本のアニメーションってくぐっちゃうとなんかあんまりこう僕はあのイメージできないんですけど、やっぱ個人がいかに面白い個人が出てくるのか、出てくるっていうか、まあそういうのも育てようと思って育たないんで結構自然発生的に出てくるんですよ。教えて演出家って育たないんで、なんか僕はそういう風に思ってるから、ちょっとあまりあのあのなんていうのかな、そういう期待に期待された答えは答えられないかもしれない。
So talking about the anime industries and movie industries, for example, talking about the United States, the movie industries that was going down, and when it was down, Lucas was there and he made a Star Wars, and that really saved the American movie industries. Talking about the Chaplin, if this is anime industry, it's Hayao Miyazaki, Mr. Anno, or the director of Gurren Lagann, Mr. Imaishi, and others. All these very interesting people were there and changed and saved these industries. So personally, I myself have to do my best to keep the industry going on. Yeah, but again, personally, depends. It's I personally think that it's not because the decades or the years has passed, but it is because how the individuals are great and all these individuals, you don't teach them or train them. They just come so sudden, so that is what I think. I'm sorry if this is not really answering your question.
もしかしたらそれに近いものがあるとしたら、あの日本の場合って漫画産業というか漫画が結構あの多分アメリカの、 あのアメリカンコミックスと比べるとちょっと数も多分多いだろうし、種類もバラエティが広いと思うんですけど、アニメーションって漫画の原作のアニメーションって意外と多いんで、その漫画が革新的な人物が出てきた時にアニメーションがアニメーション化されたりするから、例えば今やって白熊カフェとかって変なアニメがあるんですけど、僕の友達の小林津田君っていうのが監修してるんですけど、そのアニメ作品とかやっぱりその漫画がヘンテコリンなんで、そういうのが日本のアニメのそのなんていうのかな、 あの新しさとかっていうのをもしかしたらアニメだけっていうよりもその漫画が結構作ってるんじゃないかっていうのは思いますけど。
So maybe not the anime itself but the manga industries、these days、so many mangas not only the volumes but the, all the varieties and these mangas are now become anime. It wasn't not much likeNot many as today when, you know, several decades ago. So, for example, the anime called Shirokuma Cafe, my friend Tsuneo Kobayashi is involved in this. And the manga itself is very unique and funny taste. And therefore, when it comes to anime, he brings a new wind to the anime, animation industry, maybe.
Do you feel that the advent of the internet or the availability of items and shows and movies online has hurt or helped the industry? In other words, how do you feel that technology has helped or hurt the anime industry?
インターネットの普及でですね、まあ、いろんなことが可能になってきたわけですが、このインターネット自身、またはこのテクノロジーの進化、自身がアニメ産業を、に、まあ、hurt と言ってましたので、まあ、それあのに良くなかったのか、もしくは help、アニメ産業をより良いものにしたのか、どちらだと思いますか？
テクノロジーね、テクノロジーに興味があるんですか
You're interested in technology?
Ah, yes.
まあ、インターネットにしても、まあ、なんだろうな、その、例えば 3DCG とか、そういうものは、あの、なんていうのかな、その、すべてが多分、いい面と悪い面があると思うんですけど。
Talking about technology 3DCG, there's both good and bad.
ま
あ、And, like, how is people being able to downloadmovies and films without paying hurt or helped promote the industry and how may they adapt
もう一つが、まあ、そのダウンロードがどんどんできてしまうので、実際に作ったものにお金を払わずにもそういうことができてしまうということが、まあ、産業を助けているのか、まあ、ひどい打撃を受けているというのか
難しいんですね
Difficult?
まあ、いい面と悪い面がやっぱりそれもあって
So both good and bad faces.
例えばいい面で言うと、要するに多くの人が見てくれる。
Good thing is that it's available to so many people.
まあ悪い面で言うと、多分そういう話をされてると思うんですけど、要するにただで見れちゃうから制作費が回収できないということは次の作品が作れなくなっちゃうっていう。それは非常に危ない。
Bad thing is because you are able to download it, it means it's free, so we can't, the creators can't gather all the money from what we produced, and therefore it's not gonna, that money does not be, will not be used to the next creation.
で、そうだな、例えばだけど、有料ダウンロードみたいなことも、例えばバンダイとかやってると思うんですけど、そのまあ、もうそういう時代になってしまったからインターネットというのはリアルな世界にはもうあるものだからそれをだからうまくその、まあ、ビジネスをこうそのビジネスとそのとってもプラスにダウンロードをうまく使えるように多分そのプロデュースっていうかそういうのをお金を出したりしてる人は考えてるんじゃないですかねまあ僕はそれは僕の仕事じゃないから
So, for example, now Bandai is doing like you have to pay to download, and but the reality is that internet is already there and being, you know, working. Those people who are in the industry probably have to think about what is the good to have this industry go working on, and that they're able to gather the money.But anyway, that's not my business. so somebody else will do it.
僕と多分物を作ってる人は多くの人に見てもらった方が嬉しいから。
As being a creator, personally, I am happy that more and more people are able to watch what I created, what I made, or what I was involved in.
So kind of just switch focus a little bit. Is there any director maybe now or from the past that you kind of gained inspiration from as you continue forward?
ちょっと話がまた変わりますが、mm-hmm. ご自身が影響を受けた過去にいらっしゃったもしくは現在も活動、活躍をされていらっしゃるディレクターの監督の方ですね、どなたかいらっしゃいますか。
まあアニメーションディレクター、
talking about the anime director。
Yes ma'am。
そうです。
まあね、まあ皆さんご存知だと思いますけど、宮崎駿さんという人が、
You all know 駿宮崎。
僕は未来少年コナンというのが大好き。
未来少年コナン、The Future Boy Conan is my favorite animation、うん。
まあ、あと、まあ、そのちょっとタイプが違う監督でもう亡くなったんですけど、まあ、僕あの開会式で歌を歌った明日のジョーというのを監督された出崎治っていう人が大好き。
And、different type、director type or character、than Hayao Miyazaki. His name is Osamu Dezaki. He passed away already, but he directedJoe, future, Ashita no Joe, the boxing animation.
Yeah. Fighting Spirit.
Fighting Spirit. That,
sorry.
you will know why, I mean, I love him very much. That's the reason I sang the opening song of the anime itself at the opening ceremony of Nandescon.
つい歌っちゃったみたいな。
I couldn't stop myself. I needed to sing that song.
it gets you pumped up.
それ歌ったことで元気が出ますよね。
多分ね。オールディットじゃない。オールモスは違うな。まあ、そのちょっとあの出崎治と宮崎駿って対局って言ったんですけど、その多分宮崎駿さんのカリオストロの城とかっていうのを多分ご存知で、ルパン三世っていうアニメーションが宮崎さんのイメージっていうのはあると思うんですけど、一番初めにテレビシリーズで作られたルパン三世で僕が好きなエピソードっていうのは、絵コンって書いてるのが出崎治なんですよね。
So、as you know, Hayao Miyazaki directed the、castle of Cariostro、the Lupin III、mm-hmm. and、the episode I like very much is a very old, the Cariostro no Shiro, the castle of the Cariostro, and the エコンテ the storyboard was actually done by Osamu Dezaki.
ルパン三世ってあのカリオストロの城じゃん。テレビシリーズのルパン三世の絵コンテを描いてるんですね。
I'm sorry, it's not the movie I'm talking about. It's a TV series. The first series.
The Red Jacket Lupin?
赤いジャケットのルパンですか。
青じゃない。
Oh, yeah. The blue jacket?
A blue jacket.
マニアック。それで、あの、宮崎駿さんも途中からファーストシーズン参加してるんですけど、ルパン三世の。
Hayao Miyazaki himself is involved in the first season of Lupin the Third, from the midst.
Yeah, その出崎治さんは、あの、本名で参加してないんですよ。
Actually, the Osamu Dezaki is involved in with a different name. So you won't see Osamu Dezaki's name in the credit. He's with a different
name. Pen name.
Pen name.
で、最近知ったんですよ。それで僕の好きなエピソードが出崎さんの。
I didn't know that. I figured this out very recently.
俺の好きなのはみんな出崎治じゃんみたいな。
So figure out like, oh, all the episode that I like, the storyboard was done by Osamu Dezaki.
Wow. Shock.
I was pretty shocked and amazed. うん。
じゃあ他に影響、まああと高畑勲っていう人がいるんですけど、ディレクターだと。
I also like and got influenced by Isao Takahata.
まあ。赤毛のとか、まあ、アルプスの少女ハイジとかそういうやつね。
So the Alps, アルプスの少女ハイジ、ハイディ？
ハイディ of the Alps.
Yeah, ハイディ of the Alps was done by Isao Takahashi.
Takahata. まあその人も、まあ母を訪ねて三千里っていうのがまあ大好きなんですけど。
And then 母を訪ねて三千里、I don't know the 千里 is a、old Japanese way to show the miles or the distance.、it's about the boy who were looking for his mom and walk all these road. So finding my mother for
3,000 miles. 高畑勲っていうとあのスタジオジブリで蛍の墓っていうのを監督してるんですけど、
So Isao Takahata worked as a director for 蛍の墓、
Grave of the Fireflies, yes, yes.
まあだから多分アメリカだともしかしたらそっちの方で知られてるのかな。
So maybe in America, Isao Takahata is known as a director of that.
僕はそのジブリで撮った高畑さんの映画あんまり好きじゃないんで。
I personally don't like Takahata's work in Ghibli.
He also did Pompoko, right?
Takahata-san wa Pompoko
gassen mo yarareましたか? Yes.
And he did one more something.
Was it Oceans? Or was it
Umiga
Kikoiro? Umiga Kikoiro wa ne, chigau da
山田なんとか。
山田くんもそうですね。
隣の山田くん。
あれもダメですね。
Mr. Yamada.
My neighbor is the Yamada.
That's what I was thinking.
Yes.
僕が好きなのは映画のじゃなくてテレビシリーズの高畑さんが。
So the Takahata's work I like is not the movie series, but from TV series.
映画で好きなのは2本あって、ジャリンコチエっていうのと。
I like the movies that I like. I can name two. One is Jarinko Chie.
あとセロヒキの豪州ですね。
Another one is セロヒキの豪州。
知らないよね。
I don't know in English. 豪州。
見てほしい。
Just some of the. Oh wait, wait. Is there one like the
Miyazaki? セロセロ。
Whisper of the Heart. No, is this guy? Is it the one with the?
Is it a Miyazaki?
Is it talking Miyazaki?
それ耳をすませばですね。
Oh, that's
a
different one.
No. Yumi's Seroki no Goshi no wa zenzen
ii
desu yo. Tsuyaku shita hoga ii desu. Nanka Ghibli no anime no Takahata-san anmai suki janai desu yo.
So again, I don't like the work of Takahata in Ghibli. But I mean, I like his work, but all his work I like is in a TV series.
Kaichiba.
How do you feel? What can be done to improve the perception of anime in Japan, considering that many modern Japanese leaders and society members tend to blame anime and manga for social ills like the rise of hikikomoriism?And needs. How? What can be done to? The question is, how do you feel the perception of anime that has been rising up in recent years can be changed to a more positive image?
日本のですね、あの例えばリーダーと言われる人たち、もし。はあの政治的なリーダーですねって言われた人たち、それから社会の中でアニメを見る人たちっていうのはあまりこういいイメージが持たれていないものなんですが、例えばやれ引きこもりだ、やれニートだというようなイメージが持たれてたりするわけなんですが、こういった見方を変えていくためにどんなことができると思いますか。
出だしの方ちょっと今お水を取ろうとして集中できなかったんで、
日本の社会で、日本のリーダーですとかその社会全体がですね、アニメを見る人たちのことをこう低く見ているところがありまして、
それはアメリカだとどうなんですかってちょっと
言った。 You said about the perception in Japan, but does what about the, in the United States? Is the United States those anime lovers or the manga lovers are also have the same perception by the society?
In some regards, we have some subsets of anime and otaku or so that are looked down upon as being odd or different. In fact, with like the recent tragedy we had in Aurora, they tried to blame it on our comic books and our media. We still have that perception we are trying to get over ourselves.
あの日本とはまたちょっと違うんですが、やっぱりあのオタクっていうのがここにもいて、やっぱりあのここでもあんまりその 少しこう下に見られているというかそういった傾向はあります。例えば最近のことで言うとここでこの間オーロラの映画館で無差別の射撃事件が起こったんですが、あれなんかでもその原因をですね、やっぱコミックブック、こちらで見るコミックブックが悪いんじゃないかとか、それからそういったのを流しているメディアが悪いんじゃないかとか、そういったことが言われていますね。
僕はバットマンのムービーのやつですよね、
そうです、バットマンです。
バットマンのムービーは別に僕は全然そのコミックスのせいとか思わないですけど、
I don't think Batman is
giving bad influence. 彼がやっぱクレイジーになっただけだと思うんだけど、
ね。It's just a personal issue. That person who did it was crazy.
うん。だからまあそれはまあちょっと置いといて。
But let's just put that story aside.
と、なんだろうな。例えばすごい、まあ今日も会場コスプレの方とかいるけど、なんかすごい楽しそうにやってるじゃないですか。
Today I saw so many cosplayers downstairs and they all look so happy and fun.
僕はその生きていく上で何かすごい大好きなものを見つけてそれをやるってことはすごい素晴らしいと 思っているので、そういうことに関しては自分としてはすごく悪いことだとは思わなくて、むしろいいことなんじゃないかと思います。
Personally think likeLiving in this society, if you have something that you love so much and you put your energy and into it, I think that is great. I personally think that's a great thing, not bad at all. So if that's anime, it's doing fine.
コスプレでもミュージックでも
映画
でも文学でも何でもいいと思うんですけど、
movie or anything, it could be just a traditional arts.
なんか要するにすごいそれほどまで好きになれるものが見つかったこと自体がその本人にとってすごい幸せだと思う。
It's a great happiness for the individual to find something that you are able to stick all your life, that you can devote yourself into.
まあ僕はコスプレしないですけど。
Oh, I personally don't cosplay.
で、ただその多分問題が起こってくるとすると、例えばロックのフェスティバルとかでも同じだと思うんですけど、例えば人が集まった時にゴミ捨てちゃうとか、食べたものをこちらかしちゃうとか、周りの人に嫌われるようなことをしちゃうのは、すごく気をつけてほしいな。
So not only the cosplay, cosplayers or these conventions, but if you go to rock festivals, maybe the similar things happen, that you're in that crowd and you trash the place, you throw away, you know, gum or whatever things, and you shouldn't do that. It's a, you know, the manner that other people are watching, so you have to be careful what you do if you're in that style.
まあその、なんだろうな、その文化としてちょっと下に見られちゃうみたいなことで言うと、例えば僕が子供の頃もアニメーションタイガーマスクとか明日のジョーとかそういうのがあって、で別に普通に僕ら見てたし、まあ、親は勉強してほしいから遊ぶそういうのは嫌がるかもしれないけど、なんとか思うのはやっぱり昔のアニメーションって結構人生教訓的なこととかが何気になく入ってたりしていい話なんですけど、なんていうのかな、僕はまあそんなエディケーション的なものが必ずしもいいとは思わないけれども、そういう要素があってすごい楽しいこともあるけれども、ちゃんとこういうことはしなきゃダメですよとかって、そういう面もあったんだけど、最近やっぱり深夜アニメーションとかっていうのは日本の場合は多いと思うんですけど、僕も深夜アニメーション作りましたけど、なんかちょっと快楽主義とかに走ってるから、なんていうのかな、そのアニメーションの進化っていうのがそういうことをもしも言ってるのかなと思うと、なんかそれはまあ今までないものが出てきてるかもしれないけど、僕はあんまり肯定的じゃないかもしれない。長く喋っちゃって。
So the anime watchers are the anime watchers in Japan may be looked down a little bit in Japan.But when you're talking about my childhood, that I did watch Tiger Mask, Tiger Mask, or Ashita no Joe, the Fighting Spirits, and yeah, definitely, my parents want us to study hard, so they say we'll study. But the old animations were always had a specific manners or things that you have to learn in your life mm-hmm. was in the episodes. Mm-hmm. And so it, all the stories were pretty good. Not only fun, but all those good stories were in there. Now these days, talking about those midnight animations, I personally think that they're more going towards kairakushugi.
More risque, racy again, or no?
Not racy. It's more like if it's fun, that's fun.
Oh,
that's
okay. That's more okay. ambiguous. Like instead of being black and white, mm-hmm. in more of a gray.
快楽主義というところでちょっと今詰まってるんですけども、その快楽主義というのは昔だと例えば白黒がはっきりしていたのが今はその辺がこう曖昧になってしまっているということなんでしょうか。
なんかなんだろうな、楽しいことばっかしを言ってて、なんか大事なことは抜けちゃってないかなっていう。
So what I mean is like all these these night animations talked about the happy things only. They don't talk aboutstruggles or challenges or just happy, you're fine.
作る意味が僕は感じないようなアニメーションも結構あるような気がしちゃう。
There may be a lot of things that you will learn or see from the animation, midnight animation these days, but I personally don't feel that way.
個人的な考え
ですけど。
まあ、いろんなのがあるのはいいんですけどね。
It's good to see varieties.
なんとなくね。
But,
最後の質問ぐらいじゃないですか。
So maybe one more question then.
Alright. So for my last question is there anything coming up that you would like to talk about and just kind of your chance to give you know American fans an idea of what you're working on?
では最後に、アメリカのファンに、何かお一言。
ああ、そっか、宣伝しようかな。
Oh, okay, so should I talk about what I've?
多分、
what I did?
まだ 100% じゃないんですけど、アメリカのそのすごい有名なミュージシャンとコラボレーションをするアニメーションを監督することになりそうなので、楽しみにしていてください。
So this is not 100% set. However, I'm working on this project that I am collaborating with very famous American musician, and it will be the anime coming soon.
よろしく。
So I hope you will watch that soon. I'm sorry because it's not 100% set. Mm-hmm.
でもなんかすごい真面目な話をされて戸惑ったけど面白かったです
。So this interview like it was really serious questions and I was little like what should I do kind of mode, but it was really fun.
Thank you very much for the interview. This has been an interview with
Kobayashi-san, Mr. Kobayashi.
And it's been presented to you today by myself, Philip Wesley, the Mile High Mouth from Radio DMG, and
Jonathan Lawson from Midnight Anime Radio.
And we are very thankful that you've granted us this interview today.
本日はどうもありがとうございました。今回は小林監督を迎えまして、
See you.
DMG ラジオ、それからアニメラジオさんと、2人で共同で、取材をさせていただきました。ありがとうございました。
どうもでした。
Good night.
あそこはお客さんというか言ってるんですけど、
This is Peter S. Beagle, and you are listening to Radio DMG.
That is your program for this evening. I am your host, Philip Wesley, the Mile High Mouth, signing in and signing out for Radio DMG on this November 8th or 9th, 2012. Remember, be responsible, spay or neuter your gamers. And, like always, good night.
with your colossal hands. So don't let the Chip Felix in that building stand. I wreck it. I fix it. Fix it, Felix, as fast as you can. Use the magic hammer you got from your old man. But you know Wreck and Ralph won't let that building stand. I wreck it.
In all honesty, I feel that the name Wreck-It Ralph would be a wonderful porn name. And I'm your host, Fillet Phil Lip. Ugh, God, that's awful. I'm just gonna cut that. I'm just not gonna make the joke in there. It's fucking lame.
Daddy, why did you eat my fries? I bought them and they were mine. But you ate them, yeah, you ate my fries. And I cried, but you didn't seem to cry. Daddy, do you even love me? Well, I wish you'd show it, cause I wouldn't know it. What kind of dad eats his daughter's fries and doesn't look her in the eyes? Daddy, there were tears there. If you saw them, would you even care?